From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com.
Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This is part one of the summer camp wrap-up show featuring Big Gigantic. A time was had by all at this year's summer camp music festival in Chillicothe, Illinois. Once again, the weather played a huge role, as it does every year, but hey, that's summer in the Midwest. Despite all the rain and delays and tornado warnings and all that jazz, the festival was still a huge success. And this year marked the biggest percentage of electronic acts that summer camp has ever had, so assume that trend will continue. Over the next couple of days, I'll be playing tracks from standout performers at summer camp, but the bulk of these shows will be devoted to an on-site interview with Big Gigantic. Saxophonist and producer Dom Lally paired up with drummer Jeremy Sockin only 3 years ago, and already the duo has rocketed to electronic prowess along with half of their native city of Boulder, Colorado. I spoke with Lally and Salkin the night after their main stage debut at summer camp, and right before they played their second set of the festival, a late night slot in the infamous Red Barn. I apologize in advance for the audio quality. It was Saturday night, so my voice was a little shot from 3 days of debauchery, and you can hear Lotus sound checking in the background, but it's all good. Lots of great stuff in the interview. Today's show is brought to you by Halfway to Forecastle, taking place July 15th at Waterfront Park in Louisville, Kentucky. This mini-festival celebration of Forecastle will feature past Unce Podcast guests Pretty Lights, RJD2, and Boombox, with a special after-party at the Ice House with Mimosa, Anasia, and Grammatic. More information at theunce.com and www.forecastlefest.com. Before we get to the interview, let's hear a track from Tigran Mimosa. This producer, only 24 years old, comes halfway across the country from LA to a field in the middle of Illinois and completely destroys. He's always had a good draw in the Midwest, but this time half of summer camp descended on the Starshine stage, during Umphrey's no less, to watch Mimosa crush it, and then came back at 3 a.m. to the vibe tent to blow a hole in Sunday morning. Just unbelievable. The title track from Mimosa's 58 Degrees EP, available for free from False Idol Music. Alright, let's get to the interview with Dominic Lally and Jeremy Sockin of Big Gigantic.
You know, Dom, obviously you've been a fixture in the jam scene and also the electronica scene for a while because of your background in the motet, but let's start from the beginning. First of all, you're obviously a classically trained saxophonist?
Yeah, I did classical in my undergrad, like classical and jazz.
Okay.
And then did my master's jazz, you know, but it's, you know, it's all like sort of coupled into the, you know, it's a different style, but it's, you know, that involved or whatever, same type of thing.
Did you pick up the sax as a kid, or was it shoved into your hand by stage show parents?
Yeah, it was, no, not really, yeah. It was like, you know, I was like, oh, I want to be in band. You know, I want to play. So I played piano when I was really young, and I was like, I fucking hate piano.
Yeah.
Like, stop making me take piano lessons. Although now I'm like, fuck, why didn't I keep?
Why didn't I pay attention?
That's what everyone. Yeah. That's what everyone. I think that's like
nobody likes piano everybody. Lessons. When
nobody
you're
likes
five.
Piano. I took them. I hated them. I switched to drums because I'm smart.
Yeah.
But I know nobody
me too.
Likes piano players.
Yeah. So
get a lot of action.
I mean, I just wanted to play something, and saxophone was kind of like okay. I was like, okay, saxophone, yeah, that's cool. And I walked in band that day, and there was like 15 alto saxophones and like 4 tenors, and I was like going with the tenors, and I, you know, just stuck with it. Essentially, it was like I just like this, I enjoy this. I took lessons and all that shit.
Did you go to school in Colorado?
No, in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Okay, when did Northern you make Arizona. Your way out to the Rockies?
Well, yeah, then I went to New York to my master's. Okay. I was trying to do the jazz thing for a minute, and then, like, via the Motet, you know, my friend was like, hey, there's this cool band, the Motet, looking for somebody, you know, to join the band, you know, sax player, you should check them out. So did that, played with them, and then started coming back and forth. To okay. Boulder, New York, and then I just moved to Boulder.
So did you have your nose just buried in the classics, you know, Bird and Diz all night?
And I mean, that was what I was trying to do.
You wanted to be a jazz musician.
Yeah, I wanted to be a jazz musician in New York. That was like my dream, and I was like, I got to school there, and then I was kind of doing it, and it wasn't easy, that's for sure.
Being a session player and sitting
Yeah, and just trying to play creative music, you know, is you know, it can be... You know, it can be tough, you know, to financially, you know, and plus in Absolutely. New York, in the place where it's like,
it's saturated.
It's the best of the best, you know, it's only the top of the, you know, so it's a tough, you know, it was a tough scene. And, you know, I didn't want to like feel like I was like, oh shit, I couldn't hang or whatever. But, you know, I was just like, let's take this opportunity, go around. I wanted to tour. That was another objective I wanted to do, you know, and it was cool to get out with the Motet, man. It was like, we were on tour all the time, traveling. It was like perfect, exactly what I wanted to be doing. So,
and were you in Boulder enough to sort of be a part of that big 90s movement where there was the whole bluegrass scene and everything that really revolved around that Double Dig Ranch? Where
was before me. That was actually quite a bit before me.
Okay.
But I knew because I was hanging with Dave so much, and Dave was there, and Jamie and Trav and the Westcliff House and all the those guys used to just like hang up in the mountains and like do like different percussion, stuff.
They'd play drums all day because there's a ton of
just
drummers.
African drumming clinics up there and shit or whatever. They used to talk about all that shit, but that was like, that was pre me for sure. But
okay,
that was like when Cheese was coming up.
Exactly.
When I came in, Cheese was already like slaying.
Yeah,
slaying. Shit.
From Big Gigantic's Wide Awake EP.
Jeremy, did you have a similar background, sort of schooled, or are you off the cuff?
I'm a little bit more off the cuff. I did middle school band and did trumpet the first 2 years and was like last chair trumpet and sucked. And I was just like, this is not my thing. And I'd always kind of beat on drums and whatever as a kid and liked it. And I started taking lessons and then tried out for jazz band in eighth grade and like beat out all these kids that had been doing it for years. So I was like, okay, maybe this is what
natural stick rhythm. To.
Yeah. And then I didn't want to do marching band in high school, so I kind of
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah, I didn't go that route and just self-taught, you know, kind of taking lessons here and there.
Yeah.
I was in a bunch of like, I'm from Virginia and there was a big punk and hardcore scene in the 90s there, and I was in like hardcore bands, and
so that's why you got your harder edge. You got a little bit of slap teeth.
Well, yeah. Well, they always when I would try out for like those bands, they told me I was too jazzy to play that, like the hard stuff, because I just had a different feel. And then I started getting like funk and jam bands, and yeah, and kind of doing that. And just when I moved to Boulder, I just kind of took lessons from anybody that I could. Tried to get with Dave Watts for a while and just kind of kept missing him, and ended up doing a lot of design work, making posters, and I did merch for the Motet for a while. Like sold merch on the road. Yeah. Yeah. And that's how Dom and I got to know each other. And,
okay.
And ended up living together, and you know.
Yeah.
Late night jam sessions, I imagine.
Jam sessions.
Yeah, well, yeah, we play gigs around Boulder. We still do, but we did back in the day when we were just more like gigging around Boulder kind of guys. Yeah. We played, you know, once, twice a week.
Tons of
more
gigs.
Like funk, jazz type of stuff.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You know, with our homies around town.
Okay, so sort of loose collectives and not like backing, you know, whatever local jazz music.
No,
yeah, yeah.
I tried to put together a group where it was like I would get Dom and Garrett and these guys that I looked up to, I'd be like, I can pay you $75 each. You know, I wouldn't even get paid.
Yeah.
Really.
But that's when we were gigging. Like, yeah.
Yeah, just to play with them, I was like, I would do whatever I could. It'd be at Pearl Street Pub, Lazy Dog. Like, I've done gigs everywhere in Boulder.
We were like hustling gigs, you know, so we'd like get like a Christmas party that paid really good and be like nasty flares, and you know, we
nobody's
just
paying
like,
attention, and we're just going like apeshit.
Jimmy's birthday, yeah, having fun.
Yeah, for sure. I played at Target for the reopening of Target.
I can't believe you said that the other day. I was like, what, bro?
Yeah.
What do you set up on one of the checkout aisles?
They move, like when you walk in the Boulder Target to the left where the girls, the chicks like bikinis and stuff, they made a whole section.
That is fucking
And
insane.
We played a jazz gig in Target.
What?
Yeah, pretty classic.
People are strolling by trying to pick up table lamps, and there's kids just busting like, out.
Yeah, getting toothpaste, you know, some Doritos, everything random that you get.
Oh, it was a super
Target
then.
It was the reopening of the Boulder Target when they remodeled, and yeah.
So you probably got a lot of action. It's a corporate gig too. Yeah. So.
Corporate gig. It paid like $100 a man, and back then I was like, oh my god, I'm making $100 for doing this. I can't believe it.
You didn't get kicked out any gift cards?
No gift cards. Yeah, we didn't get to like raid the electronics department or anything.
High and Rising from Big Gigantic's latest release, A Place Behind the Moon. Before we get back to the interview, let's hear a track from the Polish ambassador who absolutely killed it Thursday night in the 312 Vibe Tent. Ambassador's remix of The Entrance from Large Professor from his remix EP Homeboys in Outer Space Part 1. Let's get back to the interview with Big Gigantic.
When did the Big Gigantic project sort of gel? I mean, both of you were obviously playing the gamut of musical styles, but when did electronic and sort of those production elements become a major part of what you were sort of going for?
We were living together, and I remember Dom got his first like computer, got a desktop, and started making beats, and he was like, dude, check this beat out.
And Fruity Loops or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I got my computer, and then I was like, going over to Alex B's house every day. And pretty much, got Ableton, started, thinking about wanting to just like learn how to make beats. And shit.
Yeah.
Because we have been doing a little bit in the motet. Anyways, just started, just hacking away at it every day, going to the house every day and shit like that. And I had like a MySpace page, that I'd be like, go check out my page. I can't do MySpace page. I put up my new beat. It's hot. Like, it's like,
fourth grade logic, sixth grade beats.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Well,
nice.
It was fun though. It was super fun. So I did like that, and then, before we like got a gig, I was like, okay, I'm gonna get Jeremy involved. We're gonna start rehearsing. So when we do get a gig, because it could come up like last minute or whatever, we'll just be ready to fucking go.
Yeah.
And just like ready to hit it, And get like, start getting like a concept, because it's hard to, you can't just sit there and be like, I know it's gonna be this. Now Jeremy, okay, now it works.
This is what I need you to do.
Yeah.
So
I had to like play and be like, okay, am I gonna play keyboards more? And we're still learning every single gig.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
evolving.
We're still like, okay, like I definitely learned something every time we play. I'm like, okay, they're like this now, like, I need to be aware of.
There's no formula. After all these road gigs, there's no set pattern.
You learn, but everything, it's like people change. Everything shifts, like shit changes. So you need to just be like with changing with it, So, I'm still like, we even talked last night, we had a fucking amazing gig yesterday. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So the main stage. After two, three years of really getting into this project.
Yeah, and a lot of people there, and it was super successful. And we still afterwards were like, this is the stuff that we could do to, make it better and just make our whole process better and everything.
Sure. You've in this short time that you've been doing this whole hog, you've released a lot of material. Tell me about that evolution from, Fired Up through Wide Awake and into A Place Behind the Moon. What sort of evolutions can you see in your music? Is it because you're sort of gaining inspiration from a lot of the bands on the scene that are doing live production, drummer duo, or is it just your own natural interest sort of fluctuating between, you know, I'm into this West Coast bass music now, or I've been listening to a lot of garage, or I've been listening to Charlie Parker, you know?
Yeah, like, it's all that, because, it's all that, you know, because it's part of our scene, you know, it's what we're doing there, and, you know, it's I produce all the stuff, so it's like, you know, I try to sort of keep this like center thing of like what we do, what Big Gigantic is, and, you know, it's like songs and it's like melodies and, you know, different sounds and stuff like that in terms of an album, you know, so I try to keep like that sort of like thing going through. But yeah, it's like I draw inspiration from, you know, Derek to Alex to Savoy to Ben Samples, all the guys, you know, in town and stuff like that, and just like who we go see out, you know, who we go see, you know, which is like every electronic thing you can think of, from Bonobo to fucking Skrillex or whatever, you know.
And it's funny because like Boulder's become the essentially the Chapel Hill of electronic music, right? To whatever like Seattle was to grunge in the 90s, so Boulder's like this very rich scene, and so I imagine that's got to be sort of propulsive to the maybe the scene as a whole, all this stuff coming out of Boulder. But do you guys feel pressured to maybe, I don't know, cop a style or a sound, or do you feel like you're still independent of this scene that you've been in, even though it's your friends, essentially?
I feel like we're kind of a part of it, and we hear that, you know, there's tons of different styles going on right now. And what's cool is you can kind of get away with playing a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and we like all these different styles, so it's like, why not bring it all in to what we do, and it makes us even more diverse, because I think just as musicians, we really enjoy playing a lot of different styles of music. Like, I used to be in a bluegrass band. Yeah. I played every different kind of music you can think of, and I like that. I would hate to be like, oh, he's just a metal drummer, he's just a funk drummer, he can only play jazz. It's kind of like that with the electronic stuff. It's like, we like dubstep, so why not have some dubstep influences? We like house, we like electro, we like hip hop, we like funk, and bring it, you know, we bring it all together, and that's where we, you know, where Big Gigantic comes from, I think, is just this cornucopia of different music that people can get down to.
That's like, we love all that, those different styles, you know. I just like the one thing I've wanted from the beginning of this thing, you know, from when I started, was just like to, you know, like not let anything, don't take, put anything out, whether like, you know, don't let everything in, like let everything in and fucking, you know, and then, you know, embrace it all, like embody it, and then like put out, then emote, like what is what, you know. And
I was bringing like, in an instrument that is not typical to the scene or the style as a whole.
Yeah.
And so obviously you have your original sound that you've put your stamp on.
For sure.
But you're sort of playing with this new concept altogether, bringing a saxophone into a live production, DJ, drummer duo. It's a very new animal, and so I guess that gives you the freedom to go in any of these directions and sort of try and tap each, not market, but at least style.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And, you know, when we're writing like our original stuff, you know, even though, you know, so we were trying to like develop a Big Gigantic style within our albums and stuff like that. So, you know, at the same time, what I'm saying is like we're drawing from, even though like a lot of our shit is like 92 or 89, you know, I'm still like thinking about some classical piece I heard and some like electro tune I heard the day, you know, and all those little things all make their way into the songs in a different way, and then into this like thing that's just moving
along. So you haven't hit any walls, there's no style you can't do. Can you do tech house with sex and drums? Maybe. Gabber? Can you do gabber?
Yeah. I put together stuff that I just like love. Like, I just like, oh, I love this. And I'm like, oh, can I find a way to like mix this with one of my tunes? Oh, let's mix this with Fire It Up, or let's mix this with, or let's transition this with this.
Do you feel sort of obligated to put sax on every production? Do you even think that way?
I want to, you know, but sometimes I definitely want to do what's best for the thing, you know? Uh-huh. So if that's like the Wiz thing, like the black and yellow thing,
sure.
You know, I've tried to put sax on everything, you know, I've like made an attempt, but it's just like, this just doesn't make sense. And it's not
and
like
in your set as a whole, it still has the big gigantic sound,
yeah,
which is what you're going for. But it, you know, it's just another angle.
Yeah. But anything that's like an original, I want to have saxophone on because that's, you know, most of the time. I think maybe there was one track on the last album that actually didn't have sax on it. But in general, yeah, I think that's the look that I want to, you know, I want to have sax on everything.
That's going to do it for the first half of the UNS Podcast Summer Camp Wrap-Up with Big Gigantic. You just heard All I Do from their album Fired Up. We're going to close out today's episode with a little Too Fresh. This is also available from their recently released record Airmail, out now on 1320 Records and Elm & Oak. Too Fresh had a Saturday afternoon set on the third stage that was delayed by rain and hampered by technical difficulties, but the boys from Asheville pulled it out, crushed the crowd with some new tunes and swag, and closed out with the Cheers theme song. Kudos to those hardworking guys, they keep getting bigger and better. Big Gigantic has to go to work too. Coming up for them are Clutch Spots at Dex Fest, Regeneration Electric Forest Festival, and then further down the road in September, Big Gigantic will be joining up with none other than Bass Nectar for a nice run of shows. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll finish off the interview with Big Gigantic, and I'll also play some more tracks from the electronic heavy hitters at this year's Summer Camp Festival. DJ Tebow, Lotus, Super Dre, and more. Hit me up on Twitter and let me know who you thought the superstar performers were. The handle is simply @TheUNSPodcast. Make sure you catch that show. Congratulations to our four, that's right, four winners from the DJ at Sonic Bloom contest. Lost Optical, Paralyze, Hoopla, and Skyless. The battle for the third and final spot was so fierce among our 50 finalists that the powers that be decided to add a fourth slot. I want to say thank you on behalf of everyone at the UNS and Sonic Bloom to all the producers who submitted tracks. Keep your ears and eyes open because we're going to have more contests just like this to give you amazing opportunities to share your music. Real quick, I want to remind everyone that we have tons of festival passes to give away. North Coast, The Blast Off, Electric Forest, Resurgence, Recreation, Liberate, Underground Sound, Camp Barefoot, and more. All you have to do is go to theUNS.com/contests and sign up. Super duper easy. Please visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunts.com. We'll catch you tomorrow.